It's your boy. We back in this again, man. Got the Kyle Kalimba beat. Got that Tank Beats. Shout out to Dr. C. Shout out to my boy T-Nap. Yo, it's going down. Here we go.
Me and Diddy to the streets, to the game, and it's all
up,
for
T-Nap?
The fame. Freestyling off the top of the
cranking it there.
Love it. I love it.
Oh,
what's good?
Nothing much, man. So we've had a few episodes, kind of preseason form, but this is the first official episode of 2023.
I think kicking off the season.
Before was training camp, and now we're in preseason. So we'll still be in preseason form. I'm gonna go ahead and bring up the topics for the day. We're gonna go through this in a little bit of new format, but we're playing the Kyle Kalimba beat because you know Kyle is working with us in the show. We want to be
in honor of this new direction. You know what I'm saying?
The new direction of the show. We want to say a big shout out to Kyle. Thank you for your guidance as a producer of the Balls Deep Fantasy Football Podcast. So we do appreciate it.
Shishi.
Shishi, yes, baby. What are we going to talk about? So,
Before this thing even plays, you know, because it's going to be a little later, right? But, you know, we do got a preseason slab coming up first week, you know, so it's going to be hot, man. Kind of get our preseason analysis and tips, tricks out the way now, right? And then soon we'll be talking about current events every week, seeing what's going on. Yeah.
I think we probably touched on a little bit of this throughout the little, you know, episodes we've done, but we're just going to formally revisit the 2022 season. What happened? Who won? What were the moves? We could honestly talk about that. Could be an episode in itself, so we'll try to be brief with it, but I think there's some key things out there beyond like who won, how did they win, and what were some big, you know, things that we missed.
So, bro, one thing we forgot about now, but it was super crazy, right? Like that championship game. I mean, leagues across the world came down to that. I'm sorry, I forgot his name. It's not like he passed away, so it ain't too big a deal. Old boy from the Bills, they got shook up and they just stopped the game, the Bengals and Bills game there.
Oh, that's Lamar right, because the game was
they
called
just
off.
Stopped that bitch. Yeah. And they were prominent, you know, obviously prominent players in there.
Hamlin,
who could or could not have been playing in your
DeMar Hamlin
game.
Is that right?
Yeah. So.
But
you already know Bob won it, and only what 3 years in the league, so that, I mean, that really made me sad. You know, newbies just be coming in and winning these rings, man, while some people been here years and ain't won yet.
I'm not taking credit away from my father who won, but that, you know, there's a lot of luck that involved in this game, as much as we like to make it out to be about the data science, and that's very much true for any like NFL team. So like,
for sure, man,
Giants.
Yeah, I remember even Tank saying it when he first came back in the league. He was telling me, like, hey, such is fantasy football, you know what I mean? Just shit happens, you know? And I think it was like something had happened to him, you know? And he's like, it's over, fuck it. I mean, why
all
get upset?
More,
you know,
but I will say all the more impressive when there is consistency. And you have been one of the more consistent leaders and winners on the fantasy football teams,
so. You know, but each year it gets further and further away, so I almost don't want to claim them anymore, you know what I'm saying? It's like a dude, you know,
it's like the 94 Cowboys.
Yeah, man, it's been a minute, man. I ain't been on no streak, so. But yeah, hey, back to Bob got it, and we always laughed at his draft every year, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
he has an unorthodox way of collecting, you know. But
because
his week to week moves are fucking on point. Like, he's right up there, I would say, probably with me and Bernal, or who, as far as like active people, like, shit, he'd be scooping boys up, dropping them too.
Like,
and so he'd be doing it quick.
We make fun of his drafts because he typically drafts, you know, multiple players from the same team, which is okay in some cases. But
he'd be stacking,
He'll go like, you know, Cowboys, Prescott, wide receiver,
Dak, Zeke.
Yeah. He's very plugged into the interwebs and like talk radio shows when he's driving in traffic. So he's listening to the same stuff you're listening to. Usually he does pick up like points, and you know, he was used to be obsessive about gambling, but now this is like a way to funnel that energy. So once the season gets going, he's taking in a lot of information. So I will say, not a strong drafter, but he's stronger probably throughout the season. And that's a thing that happens with, like, I think, a lot of players. And you know, the draft can be
that shit.
Shootout.
That's life right there, right? It's like the man is just adapting and going and like keep on chugging along. Like, no matter where you start, it's where you finish.
Wasn't it Bernal and my father in the game?
Yeah. So Bernal, second place. He was about to go back to back, right?
And so here's the thing. So the last 4 years, let's recap it. So last year was my father. Congrats, Bob. And then the year before, and it was Bob and Bernal. The year before that, Bernal won. And it was Bernal and forget who.
I want to say, was it Matt, maybe?
But no, so Matt and I were back to back the same game. I won it like 3 years.
Oh, the same, you mean back to back years?
Yeah, like the championship was the same matchup. So it was like him and me, he won. And then the next year we came back, we were both in championship game, and then I won. And then I think there was a winner. I've got the trophy right up here. I can like glance at it.
Bro, so it's like the last 4 or 3 years, someone has gone back to back to the championship game. If it was Matt for 2 times and then Bernal the last 2, right? Or whatever. Anyways.
Yeah.
Shit, bro. Something in the water. Yeah, I think not to take away from Bob either, right? Like, I mean, let's pull up his team who he had, who were his anchors. None come to mind. But I will say, like, it was a 3-receiver. It was an adjustment this year on the roster, right? In our league. We try to spice it up every year. This year we went to 3 receivers, so it's your standard roster, except you also had a flex that could, the tight end could be plugged in there. But we went 3 receivers, you know what I mean? 12-man team league. I think what that did was kind of made that those that scour around the waiver wire, kind of credit to them more. I would say that kind of leveled the playing field out because, you know, like we always talk about those running backs. There's only so many, right? And then after that, it's like, fuck it. You know what I mean? I'm going to start picking, you know?
Yeah.
So now you can go the strategy of the strong RBs, or you can just get your 3 stud wide receivers right there that'll drop back to back rounds, you know, knowing other people are going the other route, that elite RB route. But anyways, yeah. Did you like it? The 3 receiver? Did you see any difference or anything? I mean, you, my man, barely make adjustments anyway. You like to rock with the folks you got. You got a lot more trust than I.
Unless I get started on my season, because that was literally the worst season I've probably had to date, and there's a lot of regrets I would do differently.
What you got? Got a squad? That's the championship game, huh?
This is the championship game, week 17. So he's the American ball buster. He rocked with Prescott, Austin Eckler, Haskins, Lockett. So, I mean, like, he had a really strong game from Eckler, 32 points. CeeDee Lamb, 21 points. So, he has CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott. Metcalf got him 1 point. So, the game itself was kind of all over the place. Both of them did. Some players laid goose eggs, and some players did kind of strong. I think, honestly, Bernal had a really unfortunate turnout. Like, Trevor Lawrence got 4 points. And then he had a strong performance from his running backs here with around 23, 20 points each. And then everything else, it's like a 4-0-5. Schultz, tight end, who's now with Houston, 24. That's going to be a hot probably pick, I am going to imagine, for
I would say that's almost a sleeper because I guess not a sleeper, but what I'm saying is I would reach for that motherfucker. Yeah,
because, I mean, not a, Travis Kelce kind of household name, and then also on a new team with a new quarterback and a rookie quarterback. So there's going to be a lot of apprehension there, but he's a solid player. And I think tight end is a position that can be leveraged a lot for rookie quarterbacks.
Yes, sir. Yep. Safety valve and all that. Yeah. So, hey, we'll close it out with the season recap on one more congrats. Oh, I like that. I like that screen to old Bob. Man. Motherfucker got it this year, old man. And hopefully, I know he told me he's coming to the draft party. He'll make an appearance, so.
Okay, cool. I think we'll probably maybe we can touch on other stuff trade regrets and stuff, because we were talking about I had traded Adam Thielen away from for Josh Jacobs, running back for the Raiders there. And,
oh shit! I forgot about that. Yeah.
And I'll touch a little bit on that because I did review that. I was like,
I want to hear that because that's relative. Everybody's made a bad trade. So, do you remember what part of the season it was first? Is gonna be
It was very early. It was early. So I basically walked out of the draft with very little depth in my wide receiver, and we had just expanded to three wide receivers. So wide receivers were just gone, and I made the mistake of going for the household name that we talk about never doing. And this is why I'm going, and I am currently working on a little project where I'm looking at the shelf life of certain fantasy players and positions.
Yeah.
Because I drafted Dalvin Cook, terrible season last year. And I actually drafted him, and I could have gotten Austin Eckler, but I didn't know. It was unproven. So, or I think he had a strong season before, but I just probably wasn't clued into that. I just was Cook had like, you know, I know he was a solid running back. So I went with
Dalvin was automatic, you know. Yeah, Dalvin was automatic, you know. And Eckler in a PPR too, but anyway, sorry. Yeah.
I think also with Cook, I was thinking, okay, not a strong quarterback, so they're just going to lean on him a lot, and he's going to get the rock a lot. So anyway, I walked out, and Josh Jacobs, I think, and Adam Thielen were performing very similar, like week 1, 2, 3. They had like a 9-point game, a 4-point game, then each one had like a 24-point game. And I just
still
like,
early though, huh? It was but still, you just said, fuck it. You did a T-nap, man.
I did. I literally took a page from your book. I was like, you know, let me be a little aggressive here versus sitting on my team all season and waiting to make a move. So I tried to do something different, and it backfired because Adam Thielen went on to do like 4, 3, 2, 0, 5, 6, and then a 1 and now and then 20-point game. But if I mean, I had it pulled up before, but his projections, you know, the projections were kind of thinking the same thing. They had the projections had him going 20, 30, 20, 30, like years past. And so it was just like, you're going to have an unlucky season. And is it shelf life or is it like degradation of a player or like just some, the whole team had a bad season, you know, that's going to happen. Yeah. So I just like kind of, usually when you want to win a championship, you have to hit on a lot of lucky streaks. I hit on like all unlucky streaks. And so even when we talk about keeper later on, I might as well get like
you didn't
some,
even yeah you guys it was just an all around bad season like you said yeah and it happens we got yeah yeah it was just one of those years brother hey one thing we was the first was trading draft picks which I'll touch on one Kehu and I did right we tried to swap running backs pretty much I wanted AJ Dillon from him and I was offering a young Kenneth Walker who had not I don't think played yet you know, recovering from either the groin or the hammy. I forget right now it's the groin currently, but I'm talking his rookie year. And to sweeten the pot, you know, I'm all about send the trade and accept it right there. Like, so I'm always willing to lose a little more, you know, just to get it to go now. And I decided to throw in that third round pick, you know, so that's what it was. I wanted AJ Dillon. I figured, hey, he was on all the fucking magazines and all the fantasy pros and the roto ballers talking about
on the Weedy Box
this year. Yeah, man. Like he was going to do it. He was going to get it. And nah, he didn't, man. He's a thumper still. And his quads are bigger than Saquon's. I'll say that, but he didn't do like we thought, man. But anyways, the trade was, yeah, I wanted him. I was hot for him. And, Kehu, you know, I think he did right to get a third round pick next year, pretty much investing in next year. Like this year he's drafting with 2 third rounders, bro.
I'm a little scared of Kyle. He's been like kind of brewing on something for a while because
it's like, a free position really. Like if I was him, I'd get my quarterback. Go ahead and get Pat Mahomes right there with that free third rounder.
I mean,
like
he's been ingesting a lot of different podcasts. I know he's been stacking away picks. I completely like kind of saw the trade in picks for next year. Train come and go. I just like I'm not even gonna jump on that because my whole season's sinking right now, and I should have because I should have just like I think I had false hope, but I should have just like abandoned ship and just sold off the whole team.
Hey man,
but let's go into 2022 breakouts. So these are players who broke out in 2022, maybe not very well known rookies, third stringers, whatever have you that you might want to keep an eye on for 2023. Is that right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, yeah. You already know, bro. See, it ain't like Madden where they always a year ahead. You know what I'm saying? Man, I'll tell you what. We try to look at 2 or 3 players in the top 3 positions, like QB, RB, receiver. Like next time we'll try tight end and shit. But in a sense, like, yeah, like you say, the first guy I got, if you look at receivers, you can almost pluck, you know, so many of these guys. So we want to look at Watson, Christian Watson, right? Green Bay. Sleeper. What is the sleeper again? So somebody, you know, going into last year, we weren't aware of, obviously ended last year on a high note because, like you just said, some guys I think you should target. One of these guys, Watson, I think Steve can already keep him if he wanted to, which is a shame. But think about, like, relatively. This is like your typical rookie wide receiver drafted, buried on the depth chart. That's why he didn't come out. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Right here he was like ranked 70th, you know, wide receiver 70th coming out of drafts. Homeboy ended up 31. So while that still doesn't sound good, 31 is still a serviceable, wide receiver 3, wide receiver 2. So, I mean, he more than doubled what it was, right? They thought he was 68, came back, ended the season as number 31. Hot, dog. He was hot, man. I just don't know because why. Number 12 ain't there anymore, you know? He ain't taking shrooms and shit now. He's all clean cut, living the New York Leonardo DiCaprio life, dog. You see that? Like, why didn't he just taking pay cuts and shit? Like, why didn't you do that in Green Bay, dog? Like, yeah, I don't, but he looks happy, man. Good for him.
Yeah, it seems
man.
Like he was just ready for a change, and maybe it was more of a people thing than it was like a money thing.
Yeah. I suppose so. Yeah. So like, hey, like I said, Christian Watson, he was like ranked 70th coming in. That's guys like Brandon Cooks, I think Cortland Sutton. But he did good, man. He ended up being in the company of like CeeDee Williams, AJ Brown, finishing like, you know, Jaylen Waddle type. So that's why I think, yeah, the quarterback might be a question mark, but hopefully he'll be the weapon. He should be the wide receiver number one. You know, Amon-Ra, right? That's my boy from Detroit right there.
No.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, man. So, old Lions. He was another guy that, I mean, I wouldn't say he was a sleeper, but he's a guy you should pick this year based off. I think he finished around 7 or 8 ranked receiver. This is a guy that was ranked probably right around 2021 going into 2022. You know what I mean? Wide receiver 22 ended up wide receiver top 10 for sure. So, that right there is a jump. I mean, especially considering he played on a shitty Detroit Lions team coached by a crazy motherfucker in Dave Campbell, who I don't know if he got X's and O's, but I guess they're different type of coaches, and he's fitting that mode like of meathead coach very well. He's leading the team, man.
He's definitely like the coach. His whole thing is like, I'm going to make you run through walls kind of thing versus
I am. Hey, I mean, that's the player's coach, yeah. But we got the other – we got a player's coach too, but he don't act like that. You know, we got D'Amico. D'Amico's still, you know, seeing much more.
D'Amico is still like, it seems like a little bit more cerebral. Yeah. A little bit more in the playbook than just like, you know, all passion and fire every single week.
Yeah. No, I feel you. But yeah, hey, the last guy I wanted to highlight, I think Tank had him, but we all know him. He's actually a Houston boy, Jaylen Waddle. I don't know what else to say. He's behind Tyreek Hill, but, you know, he had momentum going into last year. I think he started, he was like 13, 14, I don't know, ranked receiver, ended up in the top 10 just because of the production to Mike McDaniel's offense. You know, that's a player when you're looking for, you're not just drafting him, you're drafting like, okay, the OC, you know what I mean? You're drafting the offense. You're I don't know how Waddle does it. He is a superstar, but it's like, damn, man. He ended up putting up shit like, shit, the other names I mentioned, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown. Like, he should be a household name for sure. I don't know.
Mr. Will has Jaylen Waddle.
Oh, shit. Okay, he had him. Yeah. All right. I don't think he can keep him anyway, but I tell you, like I said, receivers, you can almost pick any of them. There are a lot of candidates. You can almost roll the dice because you're not drafting just the receiver at that point to fill your receiver 2 or 3. Sometimes you just pick an A. You know, I'll take the third motherfucker on the Bengals. You know, whoever Justin Herbert's throwing to, I'll take the third string motherfucker after Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I don't care what his name is. You know, I know he's going to get production. I know he's going to get some bombs. You know, you can almost close your eyes and feel for that titty,
yeah, I mean,
you know, spin.
Like, going back to, like, the whole rule thing of using 3 receivers, I like it because there's usually 4 receivers used on a given play. I mean, and
yes, sir.
So there's, like, there's always – we've just noticed, I think, over the years, like, there's always a big talent pool of receivers left over because everyone's going after these running backs, and there's only so many. Mm-hmm. And so now you're like, yo, I can't even use these guys. And so it's good for, like, a bench filler and injuries, but then it's like, yeah, it's definitely made it way more competitive for sure because now there are, like, beforehand, there used to be, like, really good quality receivers just on free agency. You could pick them up off the, you know, off the street. But now it's like people actually covet them, and so they're far and few between. So that's also why it became more difficult for me, I think, me last year too. It's like I was – my running backs that I did have, I didn't pick well. Then they got injured for when they were there, and then also the receiver pool had dried up, and it wasn't like what it used to be. So I was just kind of shit out of luck then. So it does make – I think it makes – the draft more important, even though we started the show with saying Bob's not a good drafter and he won the championship game. Yes, that's true. I do. And I will say, I think I was a little unplugged from last season. Probably a lot going on trying to do the whole Airbnb thing and then getting a manager job. So
child. Yeah. Managing, leading people.
But that's, that's the hard part, right? You do have to put energy into this, like, in if you want to win, you, and you put money.
If you
want to
be a champion,
yeah,
like so. Bob did. You know, Bob definitely put in the time.
Well, shit. Yeah, he's not raising kids anymore, dude. He's just chilling, enjoying his days. But yeah, let's see how Kyle does it with that, juggling two twins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You're right. Shit. Hey, that's probably enough receivers. But if I go to QBs, I wanted to look at two guys. I mean, no lie, they're both African-American. They dual threat. Like, one, though, is, like, extremely, like, hit the nail on the head. Is that the expression? The other one was definitely a surprise, but should not have been a surprise. And who I'm going to mention first is Justin Fields, right? This guy, he was ranked coming into last year, opening last year, I should say. QB 17, he ended up finishing number five, top five. So, you know, wasn't even one of the first 12 taken. You know what I'm saying? Ended up four or five. Of course, that dual threat ability. I think I had him for a little bit because I had Lamar Jackson. I might have had to drop him for a roster spot, and that was probably the biggest mistake because, he was winning people games last year. Obviously, that dual threat ability, I just think he's going to break, man. I think the trash around Chicago, there's no help and whatnot. So what's going to happen? You know, I believe DJ Moore, people are excited about it. DJ Moore, but you know, the next guy, though, is Jalen Hurts, another Houston boy. I love how we calling out Jalen Waddle. Now, Hurts, all these Houston, like, they played their prep ball in Houston, you know? That's good, man. And as far as Hurts, that's another one of those scenarios, like, bro, you're drafting the player. You're drafting the fucking team. You know what I mean? Think about the Eagles, right? Super Bowl champs. Runner-ups, my bad. You got the O-line, right? It's the offense that's got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and then I mean, there's no Miles Sanders, but I don't know. Anyways, man, it's just I don't know what the numbers were on Hurts, but I know he was drafted. Probably he was probably taken pretty high as a dual threat QB, but he finished two or three damn near in every league. He had a hot November, December, and that's how they ended up almost Super Bowl champs.
I saw a tweet, or I should say, I saw a post on X.com. Now, it was Jalen Hurts at some kind of event, but they had a picture of him holding his phone, and on his screen, on his home screen, is a picture of him walking away to the locker room with confetti falling on him, like losing the Super Bowl.
Oh, so.
So he's that's his motivation. Like,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
It's like every day when he wakes up, he's looking at his phone and he sees, like, oh, I lost the Super Bowl. Awesome, like, that's bro. What I got to go after. So he says all the right things. He seems like a good guy.
How to stay focused. Yeah, that's an awesome picture to look at every remind you. I used to have to fucking put up a Pornhub and shit in college, like, just to stay up during the lectures. That's it, bro. Like, just have it, you know, a little minimized right there. Just a little reverse cowgirl or some shit. Some cheeks clapping at you like you fucking had, you know, that was, and that's how, yeah. Anyways, man, it took 7 years, so, man, to graduate.
Do you
want to
go,
man,
from some breakouts and some keeper analysis? We're going to go back and look at our team, look at a lot of teams, and just kind of see what potential keepers they could have and what we think, or what you think, really, how you would grade these selections. And some teams are going to be kind of obvious, some teams not. But the thing is, our team that is like 12 players deep, right? I always forget, 12 players deep. Is that how our league is? So odds are, well, these players are on your team somewhere, and you have a very similar kind of makeup of your league in terms of who you're going to keep. So how remind the audience here, how does our keeper rules work? It's anyone after 7th and thereafter, right? 7th round and after? Or is it 8th?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah. So, starting in the 7th round, you can keep the player. I mean, they're eligible to be kept the following year. So, the first 6 rounds, if you draft whoever you draft in the first 6 rounds, just clear that off the, you know, the pool. And everyone else is fair game, pretty much, because free agency pick up throughout the season. You know, anything, you know, up to weeks 17, 18, you're straight. You can keep them. So, but yeah. So that's what, 7 times 12, is that 80, 84? So starting 85th pick and on is potential keeper, pretty much.
Yeah. But, so yeah. You can obviously in our rules, like, you have to take a keeper. So it kind of sucks to, like, when you're have a season like mine, where it's like, you just don't really have a good vibe or any team. So, like, I'll take a keeper, then I probably just drop them and go on. But ideally the scenario is, you maybe invest in a rookie that might have a partial role 1 year and then be a more prominent role the next year. Or, you know, you could just maybe ride the hot hand if you had a good defense, and it's the same thing. So some guys do that. But off
yeah,
the
yeah.
list
I
here,
mean, off of what you said, bro. Yeah, off of what you said, I pretty much checked each squad out, and like I said, maybe your team. Yeah, like you were saying, your team's probably in the same or similar situation or had this kind of roster makeup or build. I mean, you might have keeper rules completely different. A lot of dynasty people might, but hey, we'll just go into it, right? Like, did you make the playoffs, bro?
I did. Let's see.
Yeah, so your keepers, it doesn't mean your team was bad. You might have just been top heavy because also
I think
you
I hobbled
Bernal,
my way in.
Yeah, I'm going to lump y'all two together here. You and Bernal don't really have a nice set of keepers. But, I mean, Bernal made it to the championship game, you know, so it's not saying that just because you don't have these keepers. It's just almost luck of the draw, right? Bernal, he could keep Trevor Lawrence. That's a decent keeper. You know what I mean? Outside of that, I didn't really have anyone for him. Maybe Hayden Hurst, who's going to Carolina. It's worth mentioning Bryce Young's his new quarterback. So there goes your safety valve of a young QB theory. Could be tested there if you'd like. And then you got Boyd, Tyler Boyd, Cincinnati, a wide receiver 3, right? Behind T. Higgins, behind Jamar Chase. That's that theory of chase the good offense, chase the good quarterback. I don't give a damn what the name says for wide receiver 3, I'm going to take him. That's a good way to test that theory right there. You also got Kirk Cousins, so I don't know, man, why people hate on Cousins. What you think? I mean, he's in the Netflix show, but I ain't seen it yet.
I'm sorry. I was probably just like staring down my camera. I was looking on I was looking at the overall teams of players. Kirk Cousins, probably because he's nerdy and shit. He's not a fun guy to like, and he comes from his – origin story of backing up Robert Griffin III, who's no longer in the league anymore, which is funny. But yeah, I think he's just like one of those things. It's fun to hate on Kirk Cousins, but you know, dude's still getting paid. He's still started in the league, and say what you want to, but either way, he has a good game. He's not like an elite quarterback, but serviceable.
Yeah. I was saying absolutely, bro. Shit. I was going to go to I lumped these three boys together. You got Tank, Kehu, and then the Ivy. Younger Ivy, bro, Matt. If you look at Tank's roster, bro, he's got he could keep a couple people, man. So I like Singletary out of Houston.
This is exactly what me and Kyle were talking about the other day. Tank has probably the biggest selection of possible keepers.
Yeah.
He's Singletary, so Fournette, Wilson, Pierce, Ingram. Although Evan Ingram, I've had him, and did he do well last season? I'd have to look at that because
He came hot at the end of the season. He was part of their big playoff push. He was scoring touchdowns. So yeah, absolutely, man. Compared to that letdown over when he was wearing blue. Yeah, you're right though.
And that's
y'all's
fam forgetting.
From New York. Are y'all Jets or Giants fans? Y'all Jets fans, huh? Your fam from New York, ain't there? You got roots there?
I think. I've been to both. I've been to more Jets games, and my dad was really into Jets. So I'd say
but he
more
was Jets,
Jets.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, more of a Jets family.
Yeah, my bad though. I mean, yeah. What's up? Kehu ain't got nobody, bro. Unless I miss somebody. Javonte Williams, if that's how you say his name, he's coming back from ACL, and he is slotted as RB1. It's just I don't know. He's lining up next to Russell Wilson, man. And but hey, Sean Payton is somebody you can trust. I've been talking shit about him all day on the interwebs every day and trying to rile up some Broncos fans, but yeah, I mean, I had mentioned Matt because he got a Deshaun, I need a massage Watson and fucking McLaurin. Harry
and
Terry.
I'm pretty sure Matt was saying that at the time. He's like, this is keep around. I'm taking Watson because either he comes back and can play two games, and he was willing then, and that's another strategy. It's like this player is not even going to play this year, but I can get an elite quarterback for next year and burn a late round pick because no one's gonna pick him, and that happens sometimes. Or he's been in free agency and he's like, oh, I'll just pick him up. Is there a rule set against free agency? Like, is it someone you have?
If you scoop him up, that's it. Hell no, bro.
Okay,
why it's no excuse. Everyone should be able to get a keeper if you're active at all on the waiver wire, you know what I mean?
Like, one thing too is like if you trade somebody and they were picked like in the fourth round, like that still means you acquired them in the fourth round.
They're so ineligible. Yeah.
But you can trade a seventh round pick and that person is eligible.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. And Kenneth Walker was a big reason I traded that in that trade earlier with Kehu. It was he also was a keeper. Not only was I giving him a keeper, I was giving him a third round pick. Like I said, man, I rolled the dice on Dylan and fucking failed miserably. And, Who knows? I might do it again this year, though. Shit, they might need him more this year.
So let's.
Hey, let's look at the champ, bro. Bob.
You want to look at champ? Okay.
Bob got some homies, bro. Yeah, but yeah, Bob got some. He got an old school household name in Tyler Lockett. And then it's not Bijan Robinson, but it's actually is that Brian Robinson for the Commanders?
Yep.
And then of course Mooney. That's a throwaway. I should even put that in there. I was just desperate to list a third name. But Randy, I like his because he can keep Tony Pollard. I had to double triple check that. Also Treylon Burks, who was a rookie, which is kind of the lesson, right? But in our keeper league, we like to target rookies that are coming out of the draft. Usually Matt will do that a lot in the seventh round. He'll scoop them rookies up. That boy pedophile. He like him young, fresh off the market, and. I'll tell you, man, you can't trust them all, but this year, Jigba for the Seahawks ain't off topic. I'm sorry, man. Shit. But yeah, what you see, man? What you see?
I was going to pull up. I'm trying to pull up the players that we have queued for Tank's keepers because he has the most keeper rich list and figure we can actually let's look.
Yeah, let's look at his. Garrett Wilson is a tasty name. For the Jets, you know, this is just a good way to spitball players. That's why I like this little keeper analysis here because, yeah, you just rapid fire, really. I mean, Wilson, you upgrade Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, like enough said. Like, don't even need to, like, go any deeper stats and shit. Singletary, definitely more opportunities, man. He's only 26 years old, bro. So, like, I think he's still got the jolt, still got the quick. And he got his touches out in Buffalo. So, in a sense, we got two leading rushers this year that led two NFL franchises last year in Damian Pierce and Singletary. So, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, let's just talk about Wilson real quick. So, Garrett Wilson last year was the, I think, 100 overall player. Is that right? And then STD. What's STD? Standard?
Sexual transmitted disease. Yeah, I know, yeah, right? Standard league. Non-PPR, yes, sir.
Yeah, so and then 54 in a PPR league. So that's quite a difference. He rostered in 69% of the league. He was the number 21 overall wide receiver in both a standard league and a PPR league. His full fantasy points was 250 points. But when you look at the performance over the whole stretch, I mean, it's like 9, 30, 12, 6, 5, 1, 6, 17. So he had a couple like huge games, but you know, at least for me, I like to see receivers on a consistent like 12 to 15 and then get that 20 to 30. But quarterback last year was Ken Barbie Doll, right?
Oh, Zach Ass, MILF Hunter Wilson. Yeah.
So. That
so considering he performed that way with that quarterback,
and that's what everyone's thinking. You know? Yeah, that's what everyone's thinking.
But it's crazy, man. That's kind of the knock on C.J. Stroud. If we can make it all full circle, man. There's like what 5, 6 fucking starting receivers in the NFL from Ohio State. When you go through the whole NFL, it's like and all those C.J. Stroud was throwing in the football, dog.
Right. Yeah, you've mentioned this. Yeah.
Man, it's like damn. But hey, fuck it. Somebody had to get in the football anyways. I had heard a pretty cool quote that happened way months back. I mean, this is the number 2 overall pick. You know what I mean? They had asked him why he didn't scramble more and shit like that in his college career. And he said, I don't know, have you heard this? He was like, man, my receivers, I wouldn't hear the end of it. They were open. They were open every play. You know, I had to throw it. I had no choice. Like,
right. Yeah. No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah.
And then
Tank got super rich. I would just get the tight end plug and go. But like you say, you might have PTSD on that Evan Ingram type. Yeah. I do like Pierce, man. Boy they took in the second round.
I was like, I have Pierce pulled up. Last year.
What you got out there?
So last year, Alec Pierce of the Indianapolis Colts wide receiver. Where did he do? He was 63 overall in a PPR league, 60 overall wide receiver in a standard league. And. The 199th player in a PPR league overall. Overall, his points were 112. When you look at his week by week, not anything crazy. I mean, but it's you see more consistency, I think, here than we did previously where he's talking about week 4, he starts to hit a stride of 12, 16, 13, Then it's 6-9, 3-0, 5-0, 18.
So, I think it had to do with the quarterback play, Matt Ryan as well.
Right.
Yeah, for sure, though. No, absolutely. I believe then Taylor got injured. But, I mean, shit, for a rookie, it was crazy he had some of those numbers like that, before they started dipping.
And he was only rostered in 29% of the leagues. That's interesting.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I remember chasing him for a little bit. He's got Anthony Richardson this year, so let's see what that does for him. You know what I mean? I've been talking shit on the interwebs.
Yes, you have. Let's talk about this real quick. I'm going to deviate. Anthony Richardson, rookie quarterback.
Landed on this.
Colts. Everyone is going bananas over this guy if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan. He looks really good on the 7-on-7. He's, you know, big-bodied guy. He's throwing it all over the field. Everyone's talking about his arm strength, I believe. I saw something on Twitter X about a video. You have been very critical of him. So, and you're, and if I remember, you're critical of him because he's had very little, excuse me, active start games in Florida. It was quick. It was one of those guys who's like didn't get a lot of playing time and then just has all the intangibles, like the physical assets that you look for in a quarterback, can throw the ball, is tall, big. But you're concerned about when the bullets are flying, the bodies are flying, is he going to be able to stay in a dirty pocket, step up, do all the things that, you know, what really makes or breaks a quarterback in the NFL? Is that your overall assessment?
Yeah, man. Is he going to be able to Is he going to process it fast enough, or is he going to ball like street ball the whole time? You know what I mean? Is he going to be able to go from read 1, 2, 3 with everything in sync, like his arms, feet, all that, knowing where to go? Or is it going to, like, hey, some people like to break down and play and excel at it. You know what I mean? Jameis does it a lot. Baker Mayfield does it a lot. I don't know, man. I'm starting to turn a little bit, not because people talking shit to me, but because I like how the new head coach, he's got history with, I think, Lamar Jackson. Of course, Jalen Hurts last year. He was the Eagles OC, I think, or I forgot what position was Steichen. So he's going to tailor everything for Anthony Richardson's strengths, which is, hey, like, you know, we've talked about a long time ago, back in 15 years ago, like when Sam Bradford were coming out before them boys, coaches were hard-headed, bro. They didn't it was like, this is the playbook, this is the style. Like, you learn it or we move on, you know? Now it's like, hey, we got the offense crafted for you. This is how we're going to do it, you know?
So is he, so is Anthony Richardson pegged as the number one starter already, or isn't Gardner Minshew?
You know, there? I believe it's a competition with Gardner Minshew, bro, who I also got heat for talking shit last year.
You did.
He did pretty well. Did. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago. For
the but other than that, I don't, you know, you say you like it. I don't like, why did Gardner Minshew?
I don't, yeah, look at
why
the
fuck is he starting? Unless you're trying to win some free beer, unless you're trying to get a year supply of Bud Light, ain't no fucking reason this guy is starting. He got Kirk Cousins.
And yeah, the famous Bud Light clip. Off the play again.
God bless, man. But, I mean, right, just like the CJ Stroud thing, it's still a competition, but nah, man, you don't.
But if, yeah, if like, honestly,
fourth
I mean,
overall pick, you know,
it's a fourth overall pick. It's not like, I mean, Gardner Minshew's served well. He's done some good things, but it's not like you have an incumbent veteran in there that's been enshrined in that position for like multiple years. So it's like, what are you gonna do? Put Gardner Minshew there just to put the Anthony Richardson in like next year or 2 years? Might as well just give him some playing time. To your point, he needs active playing time. So.
Hey, last thing I'll say on Anthony Richardson, the team looked like the Colts were built to where '91 Buccaneers, you know what I mean? '02 Ravens, you know what I mean? Trent Dilfer, you know, Brad Johnson, like where they could have any. The Colts were almost built to where, yeah, plug and play. Anyone will lead us to the Super Bowl at this point. You know, they had a good defense. They had a strong O-line. Jonathan Taylor. But now look at the turn of events within a year. You know, like Jonathan Taylor wants out. Jim Irsay, the owner, is a fucking idiot. Almost like I almost put him above Jerry Jones, man. Dumbass motherfucker. Hey, Richardson, man.
Fuck him. And then last person I want to kind of touch on Tank's potential keeper list is Leonard Fournette, who is a free agent. So
yeah.
What do you think about that situation? And you can also put Zeke out there because he's a free agent. And they intend to play. And would you keep if they haven't been on a team by the time you're doing your draft? Like, preseason's over, they're still not on a team, and they're basically, I'm going to hold out for a contract or come in later. Obviously, it's probably a no, but if you don't know that, they could get on a team like within week one, week two, or the playoffs. So do you even bother with someone who's not even on a team yet?
Yeah, definitely, man. You're always a free roster spot if you feel confident.
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, especially if it's one of them, it's the last time, you know, I'm going to pick that brand name. But we always tell ourselves that.
I mean, let's say if you're tanking, you have, like, the riches of this list. Probably not. Like, Leonard Fournette's like, not really. I mean, over someone like.
Yeah. You already know. Yeah. No, for sure. But as far as, like, I would definitely have my ears peeled open, like, in the news for those two. Like, it was just Fournette hosted by New England, brought him in, you know, for a visit 3 weeks ago. So
kind of reminds you of LeGarrette Blunt.
I believe these boys just waiting for training camp to be over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
especially a running back. Running back don't need to pick up the playbook that much. I mean, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you want to go into a little what's happening and close out the show?
Yeah, bro, man. By the way, like, shout out again, bro. I think we sounded good tonight. Okay. Who got a little direction. The boner's going the right way. I'm sorry. It's fucked up, but.
No, so like one thing I want to talk about, another thing that's what's happening. So we did have aliens UFOs pegged here, and we could definitely talk about that. But I think that's been people kind of, you understand that the biggest news today that kind of dropped actually today. Whoa, you're going into across the universe.
Across the Spider-Verse.
did you see Barstool Sports is now no longer owned by Penn Entertainment, I believe it's called.
What?
Yeah.
They sold out too? Damn.
So, founder of Barstool Sports, Dave Portnoy. I always
pronounce
his name wrong, I believe.
And that's the motherfucker that be eating pizza?
Yeah, and honestly, like, you could honestly say a lot of the sports podcasts now today are kind of very Barstool Sports has inspired a lot of people. Probably, you know, part of us wishes we were Barstool Sports.
Hell yeah.
You know, yeah, and you got the Pat McAfee show that has a very similar kind of vibe and not as hardcore. But anyway, Portnoy came on and said he bought Barstool Sports back from Penn Entertainment. I honestly didn't have a good sense of what Penn Entertainment was, did, whatever. Apparently, they're more like into a lot of casino gambling things, and Barstool was going to help drive that. And then, so what you see is Dave Portnoy announces he bought Barstool Sports back from Penn Entertainment. And then a day later, Penn Entertainment says that, I guess, ESPN and Disney is acquiring them to kind of run an ESPN arm of gambling or something. So they were going to have like this Barstool Sports Pro thing. Now it's going to be ESPN something. So I know this is very bad details, but the big high level view here is like Penn Entertainment wanted to go with Disney. And ESPN, Disney owns ESPN, but Barstool Sports is a little too rough. Obviously, it's kind of like balls deep football. It just wasn't palatable for that kind of audience. So they kind of said, you're going to Barstool Sports. And so there's a rumor out here that Barstool Sports was sold back to Dave Portnoy for $1 because it was more like they had to dump Barstool Sports in order to get in bed with ESPN and Disney. That's the real story here. And so the compensation is like, so, and I think it's like Penn originally acquired Barstool Sports. I should really have my facts down and have this open. But I think either way. So then, Dave Portnoy makes the sale, and then he gets it back. And the only, I think, criteria is like if he sells Barstool again, Penn Entertainment would get 50% of it. So they get like half of a future sale of Barstool Sports. Dave Portnoy has already come back and said, I'm never selling this company again. I'll pass it down to the people who work here, to their children, but it will never be sold again. Because from their perspective, it's the best news because now they can be as raunchy and whatever they want because it was a typical case where like they got acquired. You think it's all great, but now you have a lot of red tape of what you can do, what you can say. Now your actions and your stories could influence a stock price because Penn Entertainment is a publicly traded company. So all the things that go along with that. So now they're kind of, as they say, back on the pirate ship. Barstool Sports is, so it's going to be interesting to watch those guys. So yeah, their content will probably get a lot more funny and back to what the roots of it used to be. And that's what they're kind of ultimately saying. So I'm going to pull up these numbers real quick. Just so I make sure I'm saying the right thing.
Oh yeah, man, that's wild, man. Cause I know they were hot shit, dude. I didn't even know he had sold that thing at one point, but
I was aware that they
everybody
sold
got
it.
a price, brother. Everybody got a price.
So, and then it's, yeah, ESPN, Penn Entertainment strike 2 billion sports betting deal. So I think they were bought for 500 million. 500 billion sounds like way too much. So I think that was the number I saw. But so anyway, yeah, he basically sold it, got it back for free, if it really is a dollar. And then they Penn Entertainment's thinking like we'll get our money back because they'll want to sell it eventually, and then we'll make a buck in that port. And I was like, nope, I'm never gonna go sell that. Yeah, there it goes. That's what it says. So Dave Portnoy buys back
That's
Barstool Sports
good,
for just
man.
$1. Oh man, crazy. Yeah, man. So that's the world of sports. And excuse me, a little cough going on. That's the world of sports. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. What's happening? We'll continue it. But I think we're good to close out the show from here. We got the
All right, brother.
preseason game coming up,
Ooh,
and
yeah, man. It's gonna be good.
preseason's coming up. Actually, tomorrow, as of this taping, this recording, we have Thursday Night Football. The Houston Texans are playing New England Patriots, our home team there, of Houston,
Gonna be nice,
and we'll
man.
see CJ Stroud. I saw the unofficial depth chart, and they have a lot of starters like Laremy Tunsil listed as one. Are they really playing starters first preseason game?
I don't think so, man. But remember, there's only three this year,
There's
so
only
I
three, and
know.
it's a new system.
Yeah.
They're gonna
So
have to get
I
it.
know Stroud will play. Hopefully, he gets at least a series. But yeah, bro. All right, man. Shit. Hey, this was great, man. And
Yeah,
we catch up. We'll catch up soon, dog.
we'll have to. I guess we're gonna be more consistent with this, more regular airings, and so I think this will come out hopefully on a Thursday evening or Thursday morning. So essentially tomorrow, and maybe Thursday's work, but we'll strive to be more consistent overall. So maybe Thursdays, maybe Mondays, but we'll be available on all the platforms on the same day versus this kind of all over the board thing. So that's what we're shooting for. I do appreciate it, man. It's always nice going balls deep with you. I'll see you
Oh,
later.
yeah. Till next
Goodbye,
time,
everybody
homie.
else.
Corners and you know I'm gonna go star. Curving around corners and
go
you know
far,
I'm gonna
go
go
far,
star.
Go
Go
far.
star, go far. When I see your face, cause you smell like shit. Bitch, you a disgrace. Been chillin', been killin' the game. Folks coming up that they